I want to preach this morning, continuing on our series, The Power of the Holy Spirit. I've said over and over again, you cannot separate the power of the Holy Spirit from the Holy Spirit. He is a spirit that brings power. He is the Spirit of God. I've also said over and over again, the Holy Spirit brings the nine fruit of character, the character of God. So when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he will bring the fruit of God's character, but he also brings the nine gifts of supernatural power. I want to talk to you for a moment about the Holy Spirit. My title is, Let the Holy Spirit Lead. Now, we often see the Holy Spirit symbolized as a dove. Well, this dove doesn't want to stay locked up in a cage. If you have a bird at home in a cage, that's awesome. But the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be locked up in a cage. He wants to have freedom in your life to lead. We want to follow the Holy Spirit. We want to get sensitive to hear the Holy Spirit leading us. How many of you want to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and have him leading you and talking to you and guiding you? Well, this message this morning covers all the above, and it's about how to let the Holy Spirit out of the cage. Sometimes we've been indoctrinated with religious teaching that makes the Holy Spirit a fixture that is inside of us, but not someone that we relate to. Last week, I shared on having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I hope I burned the picture in your memory by putting a coffee table out the front. How many of you enjoyed that? How many of you would have enjoyed it more if you got the pastry? Yeah, right? Well, I gave you a chance. I asked you to raise your hand if you wanted cake. But, you know, I do things like that so that it burns an image in our mind so that we remember a spiritual truth. The Holy Spirit wants to have fellowship. We need to talk to him. He will talk to us. The more we talk to him, the more he will talk to us. Listen, the more you have relationship with me, the more I'm going to have relationship with you. The more we talk to him, the more he will lead us and he will guide us. And so the Spirit of God doesn't want to just sit in your life like a bird in a cage. He wants to have freedom to speak to you, to lead you, to guide you, and to influence you. We talked last week how fellowship, koinonia, means that he has partnership with us. And if he's the Spirit of God, he's the best partner to have, isn't he? Amen. And let him be the senior partner. In other words, let him do the majority of the decision making. Here we go. I want to talk first about the gifts of the Holy Spirit as Paul outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. We're going to put the verse on the screen. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The gifts of the Spirit are meant to build up the church. Therefore, the common good, they edify the church. So many churches today are afraid of the Holy Spirit, and they put him in a cage. They don't want him to get too rowdy. But how many of you know, I want it God's way, not my way? Would you agree? You know, we've changed the image of God into an image that is acceptable to us. You heard me preach several weeks ago how God had called the people on Pentecost, Shavuot, the very first Shavuot, 50 days after Passover, he said, Moses, bring the people to the mountain. And God showed up with fire, with lightning. God showed up with trembling of the mountain and a loud booming voice. He spoke from heaven to the people. And the people didn't like God showing up like that. Think about it for a moment. The people didn't like God showing up like that. They actually said to Moses, "Moses, I know you're encouraging us to come to the mountain, but we can't handle this. This is too much. You go talk to God and then come and talk to us. We're happy to get it secondhand." Do you know that the church today has done the same thing with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, and there was a mighty rushing wind. There were unusual things happen. Look at me. Unusual things are things that our mind doesn't grasp. They are out of the norm for our mental thinking. If you want God to move, how many of you want God to move in this church? How many of you want God to move in your life? Then you have to get ready for things that your mind hasn't experienced before. God isn't same old, same old. Hello? God moves in signs and wonders, and a wonder, the very nature of a wonder is that your brain goes, "Wow, what's this about? I never saw something like that." A religious spirit will say, "Stop, stop, stop. That's not how we do it." Hey, listen, who are you and who am I to tell God how to do it? If we want God, then we come to God on His terms, not on our terms. Religion changes the image of God into an image that is acceptable to the masses. God never changes for humanity, but God will change humanity when they let Him. Can I get an agreement? Absolutely. Without a doubt. And so we need to break this mold in our lives. We got to break this mold in the church of Jesus Christ. We're so worried that the Holy Spirit is going to embarrass us. We're so worried that He's going to do extraordinary wonders that people don't understand. God knows how to take care of His reputation. And God knows how to get people saved. And if God wants to move, we need to move with God. Can I get an agreement here, church? Awesome. Now all I have to do is see where I put my notes. There you go. So Paul says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The gifts of the Spirit are for building up the church." He goes on, "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing or discerning of spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are for the work of All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one as He determines." Now stop. People have said incorrectly, "Well, the Holy Spirit only gives you one gift." When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that word baptism actually comes, it's a Greek word, baptizo. It comes from the garment industry from thousands of years ago. And when they would take a garment like this here and they, you know, make it, they would then put it in a trough with the dye and they would baptize it. And what it means is the dye would get into the fibers. It doesn't just color the outside, it gets into the very fibers. This is what Jesus said when He says, "When you are baptized in Me, I am in you and you are in Me, just like I am in the Father and the Father is in Me." When we get the Holy Spirit, He is meant to get into the everyday fiber of your life. He wants to affect your smile. That was a good smile. I like it. He wants to affect your smile. He wants to affect your attitude. He wants to affect your character. He wants to have an effect on your life. I don't know about you, but I want to live a God-affected life. I want to live with the effect of God on my life, and I want the world to see it and to experience it. How many of you can agree with me? You want a God-affected life. Absolutely. Listen, the world doesn't need more churches. It needs more Christians to get turned on to Jesus Christ. Religion will never cut it. Religion will not change a person's life. In fact, religion is often full of hypocrisy and double standards. But when we are full of the life of Jesus, when it becomes personal, when he's in our heart, that's when miracles start to happen. What the world needs is a church that's turned on to Jesus and turned on to the Holy Spirit. Don't be embarrassed of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. It amazes me that sometimes pastors think that they know how to run a church better than the Holy Spirit. We want to keep him quiet. Can you imagine how raucous it seemed on the day of Pentecost? 120 people babbling in another language. God wasn't worried about his popularity. God wasn't worried about what are people going to think. When it's the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you what people are going to think. The first thing they're going to think is what's going on. The next thing that's going to happen is the Spirit of God's going to answer that question. Why do I say that? Because while people were saying, what's going on? And some were laughing and saying, they got to be drunk. 3,000 men and women asked Jesus Christ into their heart that day. Can you trust the Holy Spirit? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to be who he is. We don't need to change him. We don't need to change the image of God, and we don't need to change the image of the Holy Spirit. I've said over and over again, the Holy Spirit brings the 9 fruit of God's character, and he brings the 9 gifts of God's power. And some people are afraid of the power. And so they say, no, that's not for today. And they reshape the Holy Spirit into an image that only has the character of God. So now we have a 1-winged dove. You know what that is? A handicap. A disability. We're trying to change who the Holy Spirit is. And the problem is the Holy Spirit wants to change who we are. Hello? And bring us into a mirror-like image, representation of Jesus Christ. And so the gifts of the Spirit, I'm going to enumerate them on the screen. If we could have number 1, a word of wisdom. Who here has all the wisdom in the world? And when you're dealing with your spouse, you're dealing with your kids, or you're dealing with people at the workplace, you have all the wisdom in the world and you don't need any more wisdom. Would you please raise your hand? You have all the wisdom in the world. Raise your hand, because I'm going to make an appointment with you to get counseling. In fact, I'm going to give you all of my counseling backlog and you can take care of everyone. You see, people want to say, no, the gifts aren't for today. Wisdom is the first gift on the list. If prophecy's not for today, then wisdom's not for today. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give wisdom generously. Wisdom. Sometimes, Dave, I need wisdom beyond anything I've learned. I need wisdom beyond my experience sometimes. And God wants to affect your natural life with supernatural gifts. Everyone, think about this. You've heard about Daniel in the Old Testament, this young Hebrew boy, young Hebrew man. He had wisdom, he had discernment. He had prophecy. He would get words of knowledge through visions and dreams. And he wasn't in a religious setting. He was in the most heathen nation of the world at that time. He was in Babylon. And God used the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifesting through Daniel, and he raised Daniel up because of his superior wisdom, because of his ability to discern things and advise the king, because he would get dreams, words of knowledge. He was able to speak into the nation, and the king exalted him and made him the second most powerful man in the earth. Sometimes I hate some of the things that come out of church teaching. I want to break religious molds. I want to break the stronghold of religious demons. There is so much power in the church, but something's holding it back. And it's often the things we've been taught. The gifts of the Spirit aren't just for a church service. The gifts of the Spirit are meant to be a natural operation in your life, through your life, every day of your life. God wants to give you supernatural wisdom. He wants to give you supernatural discernment. And he wants to put words of knowledge on you that you did not learn through your natural brain. The gifts of the Spirit are not just for the evangelist. The gifts of the Spirit aren't just for when we're here. Listen, I've got three kids. I needed the gifts of the Spirit to raise three kids. There are times where the Holy Spirit would tell me something about one of my children that I didn't know. And then wisdom will tell me how to handle the word of knowledge. See, a word of knowledge is information that you didn't get through your ear gate or your eye gate or your mouth or through your sense of feeling or smell. A word of knowledge is information that your natural brain did not have, but it came by the Holy Spirit. And so, at times, the word of knowledge, God would give me a word of knowledge about my kids. He would tell me things that they were up to. But then he would give me a word of wisdom and show me how to apply the word of knowledge. Because sometimes you can apply the word of knowledge in a reckless way. Hello? The gifts of the Spirit. It's a shame that some preachers want to tell you that's not for today. Maybe that's why the church is so dumb. That was meant to be a little funny. Maybe that's why the church doesn't know much. You see, Daniel moved in supernatural knowledge that was downloaded to him. How many of you can use supernatural knowledge downloaded to you? These gifts are meant to be normal. Normal. The fact that Jesus used them and he's talking to the woman at the well and he knows everything about her doesn't mean that these gifts are only for the conversion of a soul. These gifts are good for mom and dad raising their sons and daughters. You know something's up, but you don't know what's up, and you keep praying to the Holy Spirit. You pray in tongues. You let the Spirit pray through you, and then one day the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, and the information comes to your head, and all of a sudden you know why your son is responding in such and such a way. And then he'll give you wisdom, and he'll show you how to apply that information so that instead of him getting defensive, he will be without defense, and he becomes soft in the hands of a holy God. Come on, church. Come on. It's sad that religious demons, and I'm not talking about people, I mean literally the unseen religious demons, have gotten into the church. And Paul said that some are preaching doctrines from demons. They want to take away the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the character of the Holy Spirit, and I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone in this room in the same category as Pastor Rob Scarallo? Amen. I want the fruit, and I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So a word of knowledge. Jesus would know things that his eyes didn't tell him, his ears didn't tell him. A gift of faith. Man, I could use more faith. I thank God I see a lot of miracles, but I want the gift of faith. I want my faith to increase. Who's going to say no to faith? I mean, there are certain segments of the church, they really want you to believe this stuff isn't for today. What? We're going to X out faith? We're going to X out wisdom? We're going to X out discernment? What? The devil wants you to walk around like a bunch of dodos. He wants the church to not have the mind of Jesus Christ. The greatest mind lives in us. It is the mind of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, for we have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, we have access to all the gifts of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, this is good preaching. Take the religion out of your faith and get practical, because Jesus was practical. The gifts of the Spirit are practical. They're there for everyday operation. Do you know when I counsel people, easy, 50% of the time when I counsel people, and I've had no training in counseling, you know what I find? I ask the Holy Spirit before the counseling session, show me what I need to know. And I'll start talking about things, and all of a sudden the person's crying. I say, why are you crying? They say, you're just speaking to things in my past. That's a word of knowledge. It doesn't just have to function inside the church. It's meant for the edification of all of us. And all of you are meant to let the Spirit out of the cage. He lives in you, but open the cage. He can't lead you if he's locked up in a cage. He can't lead you if you give him so many rules that he can't even flap his wings. And unfortunately, that's what the church has often done in their teaching about the Holy Spirit. Gifts of healing. We've got this young lady here, was in a major car accident. She died on the site. The paramedics resuscitated her. She died, how many times? Three?
Twice.
Twice they resuscitated her. They said she would never live. She was in hospital, hooked up. They had to cut out this side of her skull because there was so much swelling. She was in a massive accident. They said she would never live. There were family and friends in the hallway of the hospital, and I was called to come. Pastor Jan came with me. Her blood pressure was off the charts. This young man was agnostic. He didn't know if there was a God. He wasn't sure. And here's his sweetheart. In one day, suddenly, her life got turned around. Her numbers were off the chart. I didn't even notice the machines or the numbers. I didn't bother looking. I came in. I knelt down by her side. She was unconscious. I whispered in her ear, spirit to spirit. When people are unconscious in the hospital, be careful what you say in front of them, and be careful of what the doctors say in front of them. Their brain may be unconscious, but their spirit isn't. And they will hear with their spirit. I just started to read the prelude of a book. A Dr. Jeffrey Long investigated something like 1,300 NDA, near-death experiences, and people who died and came back. And he says they can see, they can hear. It is not the function of the brain. It's the function of their spirit. They know what's going on. They know what's happening down the hallway. Okay? So if you ever are in a situation, God forbid, in Jesus' name, where you have someone who is unconscious, speak the word of faith because their spirit hears. I said, speak the word of faith because their spirit hears. They're slow, aren't they, Rebecca? You got it before them. I knelt down by her and I spoke into her ear. She was unconscious. She was on so many drugs, she had to be unconscious. And I said, Rebecca, this is Pastor Rob. And I'm here to pray for you, and God is going to heal you and set you free. I prayed. Then the doctor came in at the same time. He says, we have to put another port in her, and I need everyone to get out of the room because we need to put it near her groin. I want everyone out of the room. We can't get enough medication in her. The doctors had been urging you and the mom, and Chris and Janine to sign a do not resuscitate form. They said she will not be alive in the morning. Sign the form. It's a waste of time. And anyway, we all went out of the room, and I'm in a hallway, and it's filled with family. And I heard people saying, did you see that? Did you see that? And they're talking about something that happened, and I turned around. I said, what? They said, behind you, all the machines, all of her records, her figures, oxygen level, her pulse, her blood pressure, everything, came down to normal the moment you prayed. Is that right, Chris? He came to Jesus the next week. He got born again the next week. This young lady that they said would be brain dead, last week she started pulling herself up out of bed and sitting up, and she went from the shower and tried to sit on the chair by herself. She's now snapping her fingers on her left side. Come on. This is the power of God. This is the power of God. Don't be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. He is the power of God to give life. He is the power of God to bring miracles. He is the power of God to bring signs and wonders. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If you go through your entire life having church and nothing ever startles you and makes you wonder, then I gotta wonder what kind of church you're in. Because the church of Jesus Christ is a church with signs and wonders. I don't have to understand everything God does. I have to just be willing to agree with him. Hello? And so they want to re-image God into something that is palatable to the masses. The first mass conversion in the New Testament, God didn't make it palatable to the masses. They were talking in tongues. No one had ever heard of this. No one had ever seen this. And some of the onlookers were saying they're drunk and they were laughing. But by the end of the day, Peter gets up and preaches 3,000 people. That was the largest altar call in the New Testament church at that time. 3,000 people got born again. I think God knows how to take care of his reputation, don't you? Come on, give him a praise offering. We want the Holy Spirit to move. I don't want the dove, the Holy Spirit, to be locked up in a cage. Open the cage, let him out, let him talk to you. Let him fly around. You know, doves are part of the pigeon family. The DNA is the same, they're just smaller. Well, pigeons have a homing device. You let them out, they'll fly around, they'll go 3 miles away, they'll always come home. Don't be afraid to let the Holy Spirit out. He'll always come home. Amen. He's meant to live in you. Give him freedom, give him expression. So miracles of gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of miracles. Every healing is a miracle. Not every miracle is a healing. When water's turned into wine, it's a miracle. It's not a healing. When the walls of Jericho came down, it was a miracle, not a healing. I really feel impressed to say to you right now, see this young girl? Far worse than the condition your daughter's in. I want you to believe that God is going to deliver her and heal her. I understand you're here because there's special treatment. That's good. That's wonderful. But put your faith in Jesus that your little girl's going to walk again and be healed. Come on, church. Come into agreement. Amen. Amen. I saw faith rising up in your heart as I was talking about her. I saw it. I could see faith rising in your heart. And the Spirit of God is telling me to encourage you to believe that God will do a miracle in your beautiful daughter. Amen. Absolutely. We had a healing service here, and some guy who runs a gym came here, and people were getting healed. That's when... what's her name? The one who got... Tina, thank you. Thank you. Every once in a while, it skips a beat. Tina's son got healed. He had a broken heel at 80 miles an hour, went flying off the motorbike, and his foot was broken, his heel was broken. They were going to have to put plates and screws in it. The x-ray said he was in a boot, and he was in a wheelchair. He got healed, and he walked around the building with no pain. His wife, who's only a young Christian, fell on the floor and started crying her eyes out because she knew how much pain he was in. They told me before the service that if you just touch the boot with one finger, he would go, ouch. That's how sensitive everything was. He stood up. He saw the miracles from Argentina. We showed some videos of the crusade we did, a conference we did. He stood up. He walked out the front with the boot on. His wife is, she's got a few tears rolling down, her mouth wide open. I told him to take off the boot and walk around the church. We come back, and she's on the ground, blubbering mess. And there was a man here who was a visitor, and he wrote me a nasty letter. He said, I heard about snake oil and preachers who sell snake oil and their farces, and you are a farce of all farces. You need to be exposed. That young man came back 2 months later, and the doctor took the x-ray before they did surgery, and the doctor said, there is no evidence of any prior breakage in your foot. You're completely healed. Yeah, when you let the Holy Spirit out of the cage, some people are going to say they're drunk. Some people are going to say you're selling snake oil. But some people are going to get up and say, the doctor said, it's as if I never even had a break. If you are afraid of what men will say, number one, you will silence the Holy Spirit. And number two, you will be bound by the fear of man. God is awesome. God is powerful. And miracles happen in this place because we're not afraid to take stand on faith and believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's look at the fruit of the character of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So I'm going to outline them. Nine gifts, nine fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We need the Holy Spirit to get out of the cage and not be just an icon or a souvenir that sits on a shelf in our house. We need the Holy Spirit to be infused in every part of us. Listen to me, church. Last week, I told you, talk to the Holy Spirit. How many of you this week have talked to the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hands. Good. Awesome. Man, that makes me happy. You see, here's the fruit of the Spirit. I'll be the first one to confess. I'm going to tell you that the fruit of the Spirit isn't always manifesting in my life. I'm an Italian. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'll tell you in case you haven't noticed, I get loud. I'm a New Yorker. I wear my passion on my sleeve. And sometimes here in Florida, I think it's part of the training manual to get a driver's license in Florida. If you're from another state, you're going to know what I'm talking about. If you're driving along in the left lane and you want to put your blinker on and go in the right lane, I think the driver's manual tells you that if you're 10 cars behind, when someone puts their blinker on, you speed up so they can't get in that lane. It must be in the driver's manual because everybody does it. I was towing a boat one time. The car behind me in the next lane was easy, 10 cars behind. I put my blinker on, and as I go in the lane, there he is, side by side with me. And he wasn't driving a Tesla. And so, if I respond out of my Italian nature, if I respond out of my New York attitude, that's when I want to bless them. And everything inside of me wants to tell them that I think that they are special, they're number one. But when you do that, you don't use this finger. You use one of the ones in the middle, if you know what I mean. And when I'm in a situation like that, my mind, the mind of my soul, and my emotions rise up, and they say, go on, tell him, let him know. I was driving one time, and this guy acted like an absolute jerk, and he cut me off, and I started to yell. I'm telling you, I need the fruit of the Spirit, right? I'm not always like this, but occasionally it'll get me. I started to yell at him, and my wife looked at me and she said, why are you yelling? I said, because he won't hear me if I say it softly. But it's in that moment that you will either listen to the mind and the logic of your soul and listen to the emotions of your soul, or the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. And he'll whisper, and you hear two thoughts, the thought of the Holy Spirit and the thought of your soul, the mind of your intellect, your memories, your emotions, that you remember other times you've been cut off and you're fed up and your emotions want to rage, and you have a split second. You have a split second to decide, am I going to live in the flesh, or am I going to live in the Spirit? And the more you say no to the flesh and you act out of the Spirit, your spirit grows. Every time you say no to a fleshly desire, it might be sexual. Let's be honest. We're all adults here. It might be a sexual thing. It might be unforgiveness. It might be bitterness. It might be anger, rage, whatever it is. You all know what I'm talking about. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Somebody turn the fans on, right? Okay, you know what I'm talking about, and you have a split second. If you've got the Holy Spirit in a cage, he's used to staying in a cage. He will speak gently, but the mind of your flesh and the mind of your emotions want to act either improperly sexually or tell a lie to defend yourself so you don't get in trouble or be arrogant and be boastful, even though it might hurt other people, or hold unforgiveness and bitterness because you've been wounded before and you're not going to let people wound you, so you're going to keep that unforgiveness. How many of you know that when you don't forgive someone, they don't even know about it? How many of you know you never forget about it? You become the prisoner. And you have a split second. Am I going to live from the flesh or am I going to live from the spirit? Church, I'm telling you that every time you say no to the flesh and you act out of the spirit of the character of God, your spirit gets stronger and your soul comes into submission to the Holy Spirit. We need more Christians to be spirit-filled, to be influenced by the spirit and the character of God. Let me read the next verse. Galatians chapter 5. I read to you the fruit from 22 to 23. We're going to go a couple of verses before that. We're going to read this in context. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 to 26, this is what Paul says to the church at Galatia. This is what Paul is saying to Grace and Faith Church today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Paul's talking to us. And Paul says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh, its passions, its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. He's saying, walk with the Spirit. As the Spirit walks, you walk. Stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. In verse 13 to 21, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, the mind of your intellect and your emotions. That's what your soul is made up of. You are spirit, soul, and body. Divine order is when we're led by the Spirit and our soul submits to the Spirit and our body comes into agreement. Demonic disorder is when you live by your soul. When you live from your intellect, when you live from your emotions, when you live doing the things your body wants in the moment, you are living from the flesh. It is demonic disorder. And so Paul says here, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another. I could stop right here and say, come on, serve in the church. You should serve in the church. Everyone should serve. But you should also serve one another outside of church. In your family, serve one another in love. The flesh doesn't want to serve. The flesh is haughty. It's arrogant. The flesh is rebellious. He keeps talking about serving. I'm not going to sign up. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to let somebody tell me what to do. Thank you for not helping the kingdom grow. He says, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one command. One command. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love yourself? You don't want to do it because you don't have time. Maybe others don't have time and they need some help. Serve one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Next verse, listen. So I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Alex, do you ever get a temper?
Yes.
Do you ever want to tell someone where to go?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not the ice cream store.
No, it's not.
I understand. I appreciate your honesty. And every time, come on, I want to be real here. I want you to be real with me. I'm happy to tell you I'm not perfect. I'm happy to tell you I'm giving it my best shot. But I'm also happy to tell you the Holy Spirit in me is helping me. Can we be honest with each other today? I said, can we be, was that your answer? Heck, I better start preaching all over again. Can we be honest with each other today? Can we let the Word of God be relevant to our personal lives? Look, when I want to react out of my flesh, I gave you a funny example about when I'm driving and I want to tell someone they're number one. That's the time that you say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need some fellowship with you. What is it that makes me rage? What's the trigger? What happened? Is this something that comes from my father's side, my mother's side? Or was there some kind of trauma in my life where I felt a great injustice and I was hurt and I wasn't given the right to speak my opinion and it causes rage to come up now later in life? This is when the Holy Spirit will take a word of knowledge if you talk to Him. You see, you're not manifesting the fruit. You want to manifest the fruit, but there's a hair trigger. You respond the wrong way. It might be in the area of sex. It might be in the area of unforgiveness. It might be in the area of self-control. It might be in the area of bitterness or raging. Let's be real. Let the gospel be real. Let the word of God be real. Let it be practical. I don't preach sermons for the sake of another one's done. We're almost through the year. I preach sermons so that I change and so that I bring change to the body of Jesus Christ. When there's something in our lives that isn't lining up with the Spirit of God, sit down with the Holy Spirit and say, why do I respond that way? Come on, show me. I need discernment. Is this from my heritage? Did I get this from my father's side? If it is, okay. Now, in Jesus' name, give me faith. We're going to break this chain. We're going to break this bondage. Ask him, is this something that happened in my childhood? Is there a memory that's suppressed? But whenever someone says something like this, it just causes me to start coiling up on the inside and I want to explode. Why? And the Holy Spirit, if you let him out of the cage, he'll give you a word of knowledge. I've had it in my life. Look, I am telling you what I have done many times. And I promise you, I'll be doing it many times in the future. And he has brought, suddenly, it's like I have an image in my mind, and he brings a picture from my past. And he shows me the moment of hurt and the vow that I made, the statement that I said, no one will ever do that, or whatever. I'll never forgive a person if they do that again. Whatever. We make vows. When we get hurt, we react. And the Holy Spirit shows me, and then I repent of it. I see the picture from the past. I'm reminded, and conviction comes. I repent of it. The gift of the word of knowledge shows me why I'm not reacting out of the fruit. I'm reacting out of the flesh. I repent. I deal with it. And then I say, now, Holy Spirit, I genuinely am repentant for the attitude I had. Yes, I was treated unjustly. Yes, they silenced me. And yes, everything that happened was wrong. But I'm not going to hold bitterness. I don't want that trigger reaction in me. I'm going to forgive those people so that I go free. Amen. And from having an area of my life that doesn't act like the fruit of the Spirit, I go to the Holy Ghost and he gives me a word of knowledge, a gift of the Spirit. He allows me to see something from my past. He gives me a word of wisdom. Rob, your attitude was wrong and you need to repent. And I repent And then I say, now, Holy Spirit, start building that area of my life that has been broken down. I don't want to be controlled by my flesh. I don't want to live in the flesh. I want to walk in step with you, Holy Spirit. So now allow the fruit, the corresponding fruit of your character, God's character, to grow in me. You know, you can take care of a lot of issues in your life just by having the Holy Spirit. I don't charge for counseling. Maybe I should. After a sermon like this, maybe I should. Maybe I should say, all right, it's $100 an hour for counseling, or you go to the Holy Spirit for free. But what I'm telling you, I mean it emphatically from the bottom of my heart. I have gone through this process so many times, and it has changed things. It's even delivered me from strongholds. What a powerful thing. Do you think the devil wants you to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? When I'm not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, it's the gifts of the Spirit, wisdom, discernment, words of knowledge that will help to set me free. Don't tell me the gifts aren't for today. Stop changing the image of the Holy Spirit. Nine fruit, nine gifts. How did that just happen? Oh, that's right. There was a big bang and he ended up with nine and nine. It's who he is. Nine fruit. Paul wrote this. The Holy Ghost inspired him. God said it. There are nine fruit. There are nine gifts. Stop sacrificing the Holy Spirit and cutting him in half. Let him be who he is. Let him out of the cage. He's supposed to be the senior partner, and we're meant to follow him. Somebody give me an amen. Yeah. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel gets its power from the Holy Spirit. Don't be ashamed of what God can do. If they're going, wow, whoa, this is weird, I don't understand it, great. They just saw a sign and a wonder. Let the Holy Spirit take care of his own publicity. God knows how to do it. I said, God knows how to do it. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Uh-huh. Everybody go, uh-huh. We all discovered that like 15 million occasions ago. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. Look at me. Look at me. I'm going to close. I must make this point very clear. Every time you want to react out of your mind, the memories of past things, the emotions rise up with the memory of past hurts, and you want to react, the Spirit of God will bring things to your remembrance, and it'll say, don't, back off, forgive, be patient, self-control. Every time you listen to the Spirit, and you don't do what your flesh, what your mind, what your emotions want to do, every time you say no to them and say yes to the Holy Spirit and you respond the right way, guess what? Your spirit grows. Your spirit grows. But every time you say yes to your rage or your unforgiveness or your pride, your arrogance, your suspicion that everybody's against you, every time you say yes to the thoughts of inferiority that make you lash out and act arrogant because now you got to prove yourself, every time you say yes to the desires and the emotions of the flesh, your flesh gets stronger. Do you want to feed the dove or do you want to feed the vulture? I'm going to ask you again. Do you want to feed the dove or do you want to feed the vulture? Because you feed the vulture, he will prey on your life and he will pick on your remains. It's so important that we learn to listen to the still voice of the Spirit. The more I use the Spirit to overcome my bad character, the more my spirit grows and my soul comes into submission to my spirit. You know what that is? Divine order. And every time we do what our memories and our emotions and our intellect wants us to do, it's called demonic disorder. I'm going to tell you right now that you can change the future. You can change what happens in your life in the future by silencing your soul. Starve the vulture. Feed the dove. What a good analogy. It only came to me as I'm preaching. Starve the vulture. The one who wants to rage. The one who wants to get angry. The one who wants to be ungodly, sexual in an ungodly way. Starve the vulture and listen to the dove. And the dove will grow stronger and the vulture will die. Yeah. But something else will happen. Because the more you listen to the Spirit and say yes and say no to your mind, what happens is your spirit will grow, your spiritual ears start to grow, your spiritual eyes start to grow, and you will become more sensitive to the things of the Spirit. And you will hear him louder and clearer. And I'm telling you that the more you build the character, the fruit of the Spirit in your life, every time you build the fruit of the Spirit, you're making the soul, you're saying no to your soul and yes to the Holy Spirit. And the more you let the fruit of the Spirit grow in your life, the more you will be open to the gifts of power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody hearing me? Is this good teaching? Is this practical teaching? You need to see it like that. Starve the vulture, feed the dove. Or you will act like a vulture. They're pretty ugly and pretty scary. And I can act ugly and act scary. I don't want to act ugly and act scary. I want to be the dove. I want the Holy Spirit to change my image. Don't change the image of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an agreement? Come on, stand with me, church. This was a very practical word. Look at me, sweetheart. Look at me. You love me? I know, I look funny. Rebecca, do you love me? Yeah. Good girl. Hey, I want you to believe. I want you to believe that God's going to help you to start talking. Yeah?
Yes.
Chris wants to hear you say, I love you, Chris. Amen. Amen. She can sign, I love you. Fantastic. I want you to keep believing. God is a good God. He's the God who cares. He's the God who cares. Rebecca, he loves you. He never holds our sins against us. He loves us. Father, I thank you for the healing that's happened, and I thank you for progressive healing in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you are here, and you are healing every part of her brain and restoring full usage to her body. We thank you for the massive improvements. We thank you that medically speaking, this is already an amazing miracle. But Dad, you're the author and perfecter of our faith. You're not finished, but you're going to finish this work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I want you as a congregation, whether you're a teenager or you're a grandpa, a grandma, every one of us can walk in the flesh, and it's ugly. That's the worst part of us. But we can make a moment's decision and silence the beast and release the Spirit of God. Set him free. Let him lead. Stop using religious arguments and let the Holy Spirit be who the Holy Spirit is. He brings the fruit of the Spirit and he brings the power of God's gifts. I'm going to offer you the opportunity to repeat a prayer with me. And in this prayer, we're going to pray something to the effect, Kathleen, Holy Spirit, I want you to lead me. I want my soul to surrender. I want my mind, my thoughts, and my emotions to submit to you, Holy Spirit. I give you permission to lead me. Help me to walk in step with you. We're going to pray something like that. How many of you are willing to pray something like that? Amen. Then repeat this prayer with me and mean it from your heart. It doesn't mean anything because you repeat it. It means it when it's in your heart. Holy Spirit, I love you. And I know you love me. You want to look after me. I want to build this relationship with you. I want you to talk to me. I want to talk to you. Holy Spirit, I am consciously deciding right now. I want my mind, my memories, my emotions, everything in my soul to submit to your Spirit. Holy Spirit, take me step by step, and every opportunity where my mind is raging and you're speaking softly, help me to say no to my mind, no to my emotions, and yes to you. Holy Spirit, I am giving you permission to take greater control, to take complete control over my soul. And I give you the right and the authority to change my image and change me into the image of Jesus Christ. I release you now from the cage. Have freedom in my life. Bring conviction to me. Bring to my memory the things that I have vowed in the past. Out of hurt, out of frustration, out of anger, bring those things to my remembering so I can repent of them and surrender to you. Lead me, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to practice talking to the Holy Spirit. Be honest with him. He already knows the truth. You could say, well, why do I have to tell him? Because that's when you surrender. That's when you submit. I get wrong desires. I get tempted. I want to be cranky at times. I thank God, especially as a pastor, that he's helped change my character. I'm no different than you. I'm preaching out of the Word of God, and I'm preaching out of experience. This is how I've brought changes in my life. I talk to the Holy Spirit. I get very honest. He knows the truth anyway, so he's not going to fly away. But when I admit to the truth, I'm already confessing and surrendering. And I'm allowing him to change me. So church, yeah, I preached another sermon, another Sunday's gone. I don't do this as a career. I'm here to be your mentor. I'm here to be your encourager. I'm here to be your instructor. I think God's given me a good gift of teaching. Would you agree? Then hear the teacher. Don't let it just be a sermon. Let it be principles or decisions that you take in your life. In other words, what I said today, act on it. Act on it. Act on it. It's my job to bring you to truth. You know, when I tell people the truth, sometimes they don't like it, and sometimes they end up taking it out on me. That's human nature. I have a room of maybe 120 people at the moment. There could be some who are angry at me. I would face that reality any day instead of watering down the gospel and saying things that everyone will love. The truth sets us free. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So I encourage you. Yeah, I'm done preaching. I encourage you. Take what I've shared today. Watch it again on YouTube. Okay? Watch it again. And take notes and say, this is how I build my spirit. Every time I say no to my rage, I say no to lust, I say no to unforgiveness or bitterness, and I act out of the Holy Spirit, and I forgive people, and I'm gracious, and I'm kind, my spirit grows. I'm going to feed the dove and starve the vulture in Jesus' name. I love you guys. I live my life. I live my life so that some will gain and grow and prosper. So when I say I love you, I mean that. I'm not running for a popularity contest. I want to be true to the Word of God. Do what I preached today. Do what I preached last week. You will see your life will start to change tremendously. Now, Father, I pray your blessing on these people. I thank you for the honor that you've given me to speak into their lives. And I know I don't always deserve it. I don't always act right. But I thank you that I live under your grace and you are helping us. I thank you for this privilege and honor to speak your word so that people will grow and prosper and become giants in the Holy Ghost. Now I pray your blessing on them. Holy Spirit, go with them. Talk to them. Let them hear you and encourage them to talk to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I love you. Nicole, I am so sorry I missed your boys last week. I was in there cooking pizzas, and I told the young leaders, don't let anyone come back there because I didn't want all the kids coming to watch because I had a lot of work. I didn't realize an adult would come asking for me. You young guys, I am so sorry I missed you last week. I hear you sat in the parking lot for 45 minutes. I must have come out just after you left. My deepest apologies. Please come to young adults. I want to grow the young people. I want to grow the young adults. I want to see everyone become strong in Christ. You think that we have bad days now? Worse days are coming. But for us, we will have victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Help me next week, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, and then for 5 weeks, we've got five miracle happens, okay? Special testimonies. We have a young man who signed with the Bucks, and he's going to share his testimony. That's one of the miracle happens. He's a member of this church. We have people like Tamika's going to share her full testimony. Amazing stories. We're going to have a lot of visitors here. 15,000 flyers went out. Help me. Every week, you see a new person, be a friend. Love them. Let the fruit of the Spirit manifest. Talk to them. They're a different color than you. Guess what? They're the same color underneath. We're all the same. We screw up the same, and we need forgiveness the same. Can I get an agreement? Amen. Help me. Yeah. Help me build this church. Invite the new people to the coffee area. If you're a first-time visitor, join me for coffee. The cakes are free, the pastries are free, we have herbal teas, but encourage them to come. If you're sitting near them, bring them. We want to build the kingdom of God. Do you think I'm a good teacher?
Yes.
All right, then help me get the message to more people so that we can have revival. The church of Jesus needs to grow up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Help me grow the church. God bless you guys. God bless you. Have an incredible week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.